Would you stand with me this morning as we get into God's Word? What an awesome day we had yesterday serving at McLaughlin Middle School. It is so great because when you get together with people that you have fun with, even though you're working, it doesn't feel like work. And yesterday was such a great day of doing that. And what a testimony to the school and to that neighborhood as we were there. And now there's just, you know, all the flower beds are cleaned out and fresh bark in there. The school looks great. And it really sends just an awesome message. You know, we often say that people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And so that's what yesterday was about. And I just want to encourage you as a church that whenever we do something like that, our prayers that our whole church will show up and we'll make an impact, we'll make a statement to our community. Jesus said that we are to be the light of the world and we're to be the salt of the earth. And years ago, actually back when I was a pretty young Christian, there was a book out. And I don't remember much of the book, but it really impacted my life at the time. The title was this, Out of the Salt Shaker. Out of the Salt Shaker. And it was just a message to the church that it is too easy for us as Christians to stay behind our stained glass windows. And even though we don't really have stained glass windows here, it's too easy for us to stay in the salt shaker when the Lord wants us to get out of the salt shaker and make a difference in the world. Amen? And so every time we do an event like we did yesterday, I just encourage you all to circle that on your calendar and show up because those are just powerful, powerful times. This Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a special time of prayer for our country. We're going to pray. It's prayer night for America this Wednesday night at 7. We're praying for the upcoming elections, and we're just praying for our nation. So Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I encourage you all to come to that. All right, let's open God's Word, Psalm 144, beginning at verse 1. Says this, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Lord, today we thank you for your word, God, that it's truly your word. It's not like any other book that's ever been written because it's anointed by your Holy Spirit. And not only was it anointed when it was written, it's anointed still today. So I pray that you will anoint my words as I preach your word today, but I also pray that you will anoint every ear and every heart to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning. We've been talking about freedom, and this morning we're going to be talking about the fact that if you're going to walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. I love this psalm where David recognizes it's the Lord that's his strength, right? He says, God is my fortress. God is my stronghold. God is my deliverer. God is my shield. So God is the one that fights the battles for us, but also notice that David says that God also trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. If you want to walk in freedom and victory as a Christian, you're going to have to learn to fight. One of the biggest weapons the devil uses against the church is that if we allow him to, he will lull us into a state of spiritual passivity. We just get lulled to sleep. But this morning, as Joel 2:1 says, I want to do this. Joel 2:1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. This morning, my prayer is that this would be a spiritual wake-up call. Sound the alarm. Come on, church, let's wake up. Amen. Let's wake up to the battle and not allow the enemy of our souls to lull us to sleep. If you're going to walk in victory and walk in freedom, you're going to have to fight for it. You need to fight for your faith. You need to fight for your family. You need to fight for your marriage. You need to fight for your friendships. You need to fight for your church. And you need to fight for your own heart. Because behind every battle that you're facing in the natural, there's a battle going on in the supernatural. Behind every battle in the seen world, there's a battle going on in the unseen world. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war." Everybody say war. "We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Wow. I want you to know, church, Jesus has bought and paid for and won the victory. Amen? He has won the victory. Hallelujah. But church, we need to fight. We need to stand. We need to take our stand. We need to fight. We need to wake up and be involved in the battle. And so this morning, we're going to take a few minutes to talk about this battle. And there's a lot of directions we could go. But specifically, we're going to be talking about what the Bible calls the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about demolishing spiritual strongholds through God's Word. Demolishing spiritual strongholds through the Word of God. And I'm just going to give you several promises from God's Word about how the Bible, God's Word, equips us, empowers us to win. And so the first thing is this: God's Word fuels my soul. It fuels my soul. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Jesus is saying, just as your physical body needs physical food, so your spirit needs spiritual food. And the spiritual food that makes your soul strong is the Word of God. It is bread to your soul. It strengthens your spirit. And if you're going to fight, you need to make yourself strong by feeding on the Word of God. I would say this, that daily attention to God's Word is the biggest determiner of your relationship with God. Of all of the wonderful tools that we have in the church today, all the wonderful things that we have out there that can help us spiritually, there is nothing that replaces your time in the Word of God every day. It is the only way you're really going to feed your soul. Now, to spend time in the Word of God every day, you're going to need three things, all right? I'm going to give you three things. First of all, and actually the first one's two things, but first of all, you need a time and a place. You need a time and a place. You need to determine ahead of time, this is where I'm going to be. This is when I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend time with God. Make a date with God. You need a time and a place. Secondly, you need a plan. The mistake a lot of people make in their Bible reading is they don't have a plan. They just say, I'm going to start reading the Bible, and they open it up to, you know, the middle of the book of Ezekiel. And they get weighed down, and I don't understand what this means, and this isn't very encouraging. You need to have a plan for your Bible reading, right? And just pray about it. Ask God. You don't have to have the same plan I have or your spouse has. Ask God, God, where do you want me to read? Give me a plan. And then the third thing you need a time and a place, you need a plan. And the third thing you need is you need a hunger. Because if you're not really hungry for God, then all the plans in the world aren't going to help you. You need to have a hunger for the Word of God. And the Word of God is so amazing. The Word of, you know, God knows exactly what you need. Do you know that? God knows not only what you need today, but you know that God knows what you're going to need a week from now. You don't know what you need a week from now, but God already does. And God's Word has a way of preparing us for things in life that we don't even know are coming yet. God's word gives us counsel when we need counsel. It gives us encouragement when we need encouragement. It gives us direction when we need direction. It builds our faith up. So sometimes people feel like, well, I don't have much faith. My faith is so weak. Do something about it. The Bible says we can build up our faith. And one of the great ways of building up your faith is by reading the promises of God. Read the promises of God, and it builds up your faith. It will make you strong in the Lord every single day. Second thing that God's word does for us in preparing us for battle is God's word guides my choices. Guides my choices. Psalm 119, 105, David wrote, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." You know, we live in a very confused world, don't we? Very confused world. And we need direction. We need guidance from the word of God. It's so easy for us as followers, even as followers of Jesus Christ, to start to lean into a worldview that isn't formed by the word of God and to be distracted and confused. So I want to encourage you, God's word guides my choices every day. Okay, I'm going to do a little object lesson here, and I need three volunteers. Do we have any members of the creative arts team here this morning? Val, could you kindly volunteer to be a part of my little game up here? All right, Sean, and then Kayla, come on. Yeah, come on. All right, let's welcome these three wonderful volunteers who didn't really volunteer, but look at this. It's like they're all matching. It's like I planned it. Yeah, that's awesome. Perfect. Okay. Can you all stay for second service? I'm going to do this again. Okay, you guys are anyway, probably. So in my little object lesson here, we're going to have Kayla is going to represent the truth of God's word. All right? So Kayla, you hold the Bible up there. Way to go. You can see the halo on her head right now. The truth of God's word. Okay. Now, Sean here, he is going to represent the church. Okay. Now, I want you to get a little closer there to God's word. Okay. All right. And Val, this is nothing personal. Val is going to represent the world. All right. You just stood over here, Val. Okay. You're going to represent the world. You're going to get over here a little closer to Sean. Okay. Now, there was a time in our country where our country, our worldview, our morals were a lot closer to the truth of God's word than they are today. Would you all agree with that? Yeah. There was a time a couple hundred years ago when just the way the world viewed right and wrong, the worldview of the world was a lot closer. Now, when I use the word world here, I'm not talking about the people in the world. I'm talking about a worldly philosophy, a worldview that excludes God, okay? And so there was a time in our country where the worldview of our culture was a lot closer to the word of God than it is today. And over the years, that worldview has drifted further and further away. Would you agree with this? It's drifted further away. You can stop right there. From the word of God, okay? That's not surprising because that's exactly what the Bible says would happen. Yeah. The sad thing, though, is that the church has also drifted, right? Drifted, because the church sees the world over here and the church feels like, well, I'm still closer to the word of God than I am the world, but I want to look more and more like the world. And so the church drifts, and the church feels pretty good about itself still, because after all, I'm still closer to the word of God than the people in the world are, but look at how far the church has drifted from the truth, right? We've drifted, but we don't even perceive that we've drifted. There's a church in the Seattle area that 2 years ago got a liquor license So they serve liquor on Sunday mornings before and after church. Yeah. And I don't say that to say anything about anybody who drinks alcohol, but I will say this. Certainly not very wise and not very loving to be reaching out to people that need to be set free from that stuff and then serving it up at church. Right? There are churches all over our country that now embrace and celebrate the homosexual lifestyle. Embrace it and celebrate it. The church is drifting, drifting, drifting. And they would say, well, we're just trying to stay close to the world because we want to reach the world. But the fact is, the closer we get to the world, the less we have to offer the world. Right? If we're just like the world, we've got nothing to offer the world. We're just like them. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. So, believers, we need to get closer and closer to the word of God because that's where the power and the life is. Amen? And I just want to challenge you. I've been talking in generality about the church. I want to challenge you just in your personal life. Is your thinking, worldview, heart, mindset, is it drifting and becoming more like the world, or is it staying close to the truth of God's word? Let's give these people a hand for volunteering this morning. Thank you all. Amen. All right. Nothing personal, Val. Thank you. All right. Next. This is how God's word helps us in spiritual warfare. God's word transforms my thinking. It transforms my thinking. You know, our thought life, at times it can feel kind of random. Just kind of feels like, well, where'd that come from? And our thoughts can feel so random. But really, by and large, the things that we think are the product of the things that we've put into or allowed to come into our minds. Not as random as we would like to think. Oh, I skipped a point. We'll come back to that other one. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the word of God does for us. It transforms our thinking. So we're not conformed to the world. We're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I want to ask a question this morning. How many of you just automatically, naturally think the way that verse tells you to think? Anybody here? Just automatically, naturally, you're just always thinking the right things all the time. Anybody here? Yeah, me neither. And so that's why I desperately need the word of God to transform my thinking. Left to itself, my thinking will never line up with what God wants for me. So I need the word of God daily to transform me because when I focus on the word of God, it lifts me up. It picks me up. When you focus inwardly on yourself, you're going to get depressed. When you focus on the things around you, you're going to get distracted. But when you focus on the word of God, God will lift you up. He'll lift you up. So I'm going to go back to the one I skipped there. God's word empowers my prayers. This has to do with authority in prayer. One of the things that Jesus prayed in what we call the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is such power when we pray prayers that are based in the word of God. They're based in the truth of the promises that God has already given us. You know, God is not obligated to give you everything you wish for. Right? Everything. God is not obligated to give you that Mercedes. I mean, you might think it's God's will. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But one thing for sure, when you pray the promises of God's word, you're always praying God's will. And there's power in that because God is obligated to his promises because he obligates himself to his promises. He's obligated himself to keep the promises that he's given. So when we pray according to the word of God, we pray with such power and authority in spiritual warfare. Next, God's word defines my identity. It defines my identity. I'm going to ask you this morning, who's defining you? Are you being defined by our culture? Are you being defined by a magazine cover? Are you being defined by other people's expectations? When we know who we are according to the Bible, we're going to be seeking our identity where it needs to be sought. When we seek our identity in the things of the world, we're going to be looking a million different directions. How much we possess, our accomplishments, our constant need for affirmation, how many likes we can get on Facebook, the tyranny of comparisons. When we don't know who we are in Jesus, it leads to so many destructive behaviors in our life. Let the word of God tell you who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you don't know, I'm going to give you a couple of things here. Here's who you are in Christ. First of all, you are a child of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. You are chosen by God. Jesus said in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and all things have become new. You are blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are blessed. And I don't care if you feel blessed or not today. The word of God says you're blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. And then finally, this is going to give you a bunch of them at the same time. You are chosen, holy, blameless, and loved. You're chosen, holy, blameless, and loved. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, for he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world that we may be holy and unblemished in his sight in love. Woo! That's who you are. And church, I could go on just this one point. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. And then next, God's word purifies my heart. Purifies my heart. Jesus told his disciples in John 15 and verse 3, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The word of God cleanses our heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I don't know how else to put this, but sometimes my heart just gets kind of sludged up, right? It just starts feeling kind of grimy and sludgy from the things in this world. And man, how I need God by his word and by his Holy Spirit to just come and clean my heart out. Amen? Clean my heart out. That's what the word of God does for us. It cleanses us. It washes that junk away. And then finally, God's word protects my destiny. Protects my destiny. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Church, God has given you a spiritual lightsaber, all right? And with it, we fight. We fight off every lie of the enemy. We fight off discouragement. We fight off depression. We fight for our hearts. We fight for our thinking. We fight for our families. We fight for our marriages. And we fight with the truth of God's word. I think about the words of David as a young man when he goes out to do battle against Goliath. And, you know, he is completely the underdog in this fight, right? And David goes out against Goliath and he says these words. He says, you come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. Whew. Yeah. When the enemy attacks, we come against the enemy, not with our cunning thinking, not with how spiritual we are, but with the truth of God's word, the truth of God's word. Some of you this morning, well, all of us, some to some degree or another, we're all in a battle, right? We're all in a battle, and we face different kinds of battles, every one of us. But as followers of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he has given you authority. We are the head, the Bible says, not the tail. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We are victorious through him. So I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you today, stand up and fight in the name of Jesus. Stand up and fight in the name of Jesus. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your family. Fight for your heart. Fight in the name of Jesus. Take your stand. Fight. Fight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Let's take a moment right now. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I know I asked this earlier, but I want to ask again. At least I asked something similar to this. I just want to ask, how many of you can identify right now, a fight that you're in? You're in a battle right now. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's something going on at work. Maybe it's going on. Maybe this battle is just in your own heart right now. Maybe you're fighting for your own thinking right now, your own emotions, and there's turmoil and there's a battle going on. We're going to take a stand today in the name of Jesus. Some of you need to fight for your marriage. The enemy loves nothing more than to destroy the marriages of people who love Jesus. You need to fight for your marriage in the name of Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, how many of you would just say, just being honest, Tim, I'm in a fight right now. I'm in a battle right now, and I need to take a hold of the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and I need to do battle right now. Would you just raise your hand up right now? Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. I'm going to have those of you raising your hand stand up right now. Just stand up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're in the fight right now. You're in the battle right now. Hallelujah, God. Now I'm going to ask you to come right up here to the front. Just step out from where you are. Come right. Let's come on. Stand in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Church, would you all stand with those that are coming forward? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We're going to sing a great song of victory right now. And then after we sing this song, then I'm going to pray over you. But as we're singing this song, would you just allow something in your spirit to rise up and just say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to take God at his word. And I'm going to stand on the word of God today. And I'm going to fight this battle. The word of God is my sword. It's my spiritual lightsaber. And I'm going to go to battle against this thing in the name of Jesus.